Welcome back to another episode of Sleep Whispers. I'm Harris, and this is a podcast of whispered ramblings and whispered readings to help you to relax and fall asleep. This is a special batch episode, which means I have taken the same section from several older episodes and have bundled them together into this episode. And this batch episode, which you are listening to right now, is going to be all sleep tips. I hope you enjoy them. Alright, so tonight's sleep tip is from the Mayo Clinic. All I did was I put the words sleep tip into Google and I hit return, and my mission was to grab the first sleep tip that came up in the search results. So it came up from the Mayo Clinic. So probably, I don't know, I didn't write it down, but mayoclinic.com would be a good guess. Anyway, here it is. It is 5 words. Well, the tip is summarized in 5 words, and there's a paragraph I'll read. Alright, the tip is, stick to a sleep schedule. Alright, so that's just good advice. And I think for anyone that's struggled sleeping, they probably have heard that before. Anyway, here is what the Mayo Clinic says about that tip. So they have a paragraph. Alright, quote, go to bed and get up at the same time every day, even on weekends, holidays, and days off. Being consistent reinforces your body's sleep-wake cycle and helps promote better sleep at night. There's a caveat, though. If you don't fall asleep within about 15 minutes, get up and do something relaxing. Go back to bed when you're tired. If you agonize over falling asleep, you might find it even tougher to nod off. End quote. I've heard this, and I've read this, and I'm horrible at doing this. So what about you? Are you good at sticking to a sleep schedule? Let's see what they said. They said, go to bed and get up at the same time every day. No, I don't do that. And I know I should. And then they say even on weekends. Oh no. I love sleeping in on weekends. Oh, they even have holidays. You can't sleep in on holidays. And you can't sleep in on days off. That's tough. But this is not a profound sleep tip. It is just a good one. And it's number one. I guess it's the number one. The number one sleep tip is because it's what we should be doing. We really should be sticking to a sleep schedule. And I need to do that. So, no. I know I should be doing. It's like dieting. It's like, don't eat a lot of junk food. easier said than done. But I'm here to remind you, and I'm also going to admit to you, I'm not good at this, but we all need to be reminded to do the best we can and try to stick to a sleep schedule. Alright, hopefully with more commitment than the way I just said that there. What else did they say? If you don't fall asleep within about 15 minutes, get up and do something relaxing. Okay, I'm not good at doing that either. I'll just lie in bed for a long time because I'm worried if I get up, I'm just going to wake myself up more. But I'm sure the Mayo Clinic is smarter than I am, so their advice is probably pretty good. If you agonize, and then they say, if you agonize over falling asleep, you might find it even tougher to nod off. Yeah. Well, I do if I have to. If I'm worried that I'm, like, not falling asleep for a long time, and then I'm worried about feeling tired the next day, then I do agonize over it. But if it's Friday night, I don't agonize, because I know I'm going to sleep in. And I know the Mayo Clinic frowns on that. Alright. So anyway, that is tonight's sleep tip. Stick to a sleep schedule. This is their tip number 2. And it is, pay attention to what you eat and drink. I'll read you the paragraph that they have after that title. They say, don't go to bed either hungry or stuffed. Your discomfort might keep you up. Also limit how much you drink before bed to prevent disruptive middle of the night trips to the toilet. Nicotine, caffeine, and alcohol deserve caution too. The stimulating effects of nicotine and caffeine take hours to wear off and can wreak havoc on quality sleep. And even though alcohol might make you feel sleepy at first, it can disrupt sleep later in the night. Alright, let me go through what they wrote. So they said, don't go to bed either hungry or stuffed. Pretty good at that. I definitely don't go to bed stuffed. Sometimes I eat before bed, but they don't say not to eat anything. It just says don't go to bed either hungry or stuffed. Sometimes I do wake up in the middle of the night a little hungry, but I don't think that's necessarily because I'm going to bed hungry. I think my hunger, well, I'm not. It's like I'm contradicting myself, because if I'm waking up hungry, I guess how I mean to say it is that I'm not going to bed feeling hungry, but sometimes I wake up feeling hungry, so maybe I just need to eat a little more before I go to sleep. They also said to limit how much you drink before bed. So, yeah, that's good advice, because you don't want to fill up your bladder and then crawl into bed. Sometimes I do wake up needing to use the bathroom, so that's something I should probably be more conscious of, is I should probably have a time, like, No beverages after 6 p.m. That would probably be a good rule I should employ. And they mention nicotine, that it stimulates, so it might keep you up. I don't smoke, so it's not a problem for me. They mention caffeine. I do drink caffeinated coffee and caffeinated beverages, but I am pretty good at not drinking those after like 1 p.m. So I do have a good rule about caffeine. So if I can't fall asleep at night, I don't think it's because of caffeine. Alcohol is the most deceptive one, because most people know that, you know, caffeine makes you alert. But a lot of people don't know that even though alcohol can help you to fall asleep, it doesn't mean that it helps you get good sleep. So they're definitely right about that, and I've read about that. I don't drink alcohol, so that's not a problem for me. But it's something that I think is not understood well by a lot of other individuals. So what it means is that even if you drink alcohol, you probably will fall asleep sooner than you would if you didn't. But when you wake up in the morning, you'll feel on the next day like you had less sleep than if it had taken you a little bit longer to fall asleep without alcohol. So I don't know if what I said there makes sense, but that's what they mean by it can disrupt sleep later in the night, is that you're not going to wake up feeling as refreshed as you would if you didn't drink alcohol. So tonight's sleep tip is the third tip from the Mayo Clinic, and it is to create a bedtime ritual. And here's what they have to say. It is like four sentences. So what I'll do is I'll read each sentence in a different microphone. Do the same things each night to tell your body it's time to wind down. This might include taking a warm bath or shower, reading a book, or listening to soothing music, preferably with the lights dimmed. Relaxing activities can promote better sleep by easing the transition between wakefulness and drowsiness. Be wary of using the TV or other electronic devices as part of your bedtime ritual. Some research suggests that screen time or other media use before bedtime interferes with sleep. Alright, and I'd like to chat through their feedback. So their first statement was about doing the same thing each night. I think I'm pretty good. I can't recall that I have a clear system, but I don't feel I do something different every night. But I think what the Mayo Clinic would be saying to me right now is, well, if you're unsure, then you should make sure you do have a clear system. kind of do, but I feel it's bad because of their later advice in here about not using a screen. So I tend to play around on my iPhone when I go to bed. So I think I'm just hesitating to admit that right now. So let me restate that. Okay. Yes, I do have a ritual, and it's usually getting into bed and then goofing around on my iPhone. All right, I admitted it. Now I know what the Mayo Clinic would say to that. Stop doing that. All right, let's see what they do recommend. What they do recommend. So they next are their suggestions included taking a warm bath or shower. I don't do that. I am a morning shower person. But I think that's good advice because I have at some time, I have before taken a shower before bed or before taking a nap or something, and does feel very relaxing. So maybe that's something I could try. Maybe showering at night is something that would be helpful. I don't take baths. I think that I always picture someone in the like 1500s taking a bath. But I'm sure there's plenty of people that still take baths. They also recommend reading a book. I used to read a book or a magazine every night before I went to sleep. But that was before the App Store came out. So, yikes. That was a while ago. I used to do that. I should start doing that again. Because it was also a great way to learn about stuff. And then they also suggest soothing music. And I have done that, like occasionally. Sometimes I'm just in the mood for music. And I have this, it's a flat speaker that I just slide under my pillow, and sometimes I just put on some music and fall asleep to that. But it's not part of my nightly ritual. And then one of their other major points is not to use a TV or any other electronic devices. Yikes, I'm in trouble. And they mention how some research shows that it interferes with sleep. I have read a little bit about that before and heard it's about the blue light and how it messes up melatonin in your brain. So it's bad that I even know about that and I still do it. All right, so I'm gonna try maybe switching back to reading a book or a magazine. I'm not convincing myself that I'm gonna try so hard. I can hear it in my tone. I feel like I'm saying it because I know I should be saying it because it's the smart thing to do. But it's hard. it's something I need to have better willpower about. I don't know what's going to create that willpower. Maybe I need to just give myself a challenge. We'll have to see. I'll let you know if next time how I did. Before we get to the sleep tip for tonight, I have some thoughts I want to share about the last sleep tip. So, if you remember, the last sleep tip was about not looking at a screen while you're in bed. So, meaning not looking at a tablet or a phone, or having a TV on in the bedroom. But what I shared last week was that I'm bad at this. The last thing I do before I fall asleep is just mess around on my iPhone. And so I said that I would try to not do that. And if you thought that I was going to fail, you're right. I did. I failed. I used my phone in bed, and I just, I feel hypocritical. I feel bad because I give out these sleep tips, and then I don't do them myself. And, well, maybe that's why it's important that I share sleep tips, because they're not really for you. They're for me. I need to keep reminding myself to have better, I don't know if the word is sleep behaviors, sleep methods. I've seen the word sleep hygiene used, and that's just too scientific of a word. Sleep habits. I think I like that the best. Now, the funny thing is that a couple of nights had gone by after that last sleep tip about turning off the screens, and I had been using my phone and feeling guilty about it. And then in the middle of the week, I was listening to a podcast, some other podcast, and it was about sleep. And they had a scientist on the podcast, and she was someone who had done research and published to show that screen use, like from a tablet or phone, like using screens, interfered with sleep. And the funny part was the interviewer asked her if she uses a screen before she goes to bed. And she said, yeah, she does. And she felt real bad about that too. So, I guess, awareness doesn't always change behaviors. But it's still important, because I'm not going to change my behavior without awareness. But I need to keep increasing my awareness and my motivation, but not fortitude. What's the word I'm looking for? I can't think of it. No. Something like commitment. I don't know. But I need to increase whatever that is. Alright. On to tonight's sleep tip, which is continuing the series of sleep tips from the Mayo Clinic. And the title of this is Get Comfortable. And this is sleep tip number 4. And I'll read the paragraph from the Mayo Clinic about getting comfortable. And I'll say it into each microphone. So thank you again, Michael, for reminding me. Create a room that's ideal for sleeping. Often, this means a cool, dark, and quiet place. Consider using room darkening shades, earplugs, a fan, or other devices to create an environment that suits your needs. Your mattress and pillow can contribute to better sleep too, since the features of good bedding are subjective. Choose what feels most comfortable to you. If you share your bed, make sure there's enough room for two. If you have children or pets, try to set limits on how often they sleep with you, or insist on separate sleeping quarters. As usual, the Mayo Clinic provides very good sleep tips. And as usual, I may not be good at following all these sleep tips. Alright, I'll talk through them. The first one was about creating a room that's ideal for sleeping. So they said to make it cool, dark, and quiet. I make it dark. I turn off my lights. That's easy. It's quiet, except sometimes I have a computer in my room, and the fan, I can hear the fan. They say cool. So I don't know if this is, well, I think it is a preference. But for me, I don't like, I fall asleep better when I'm warm. So for most, well, for like, you know, fall, winter, spring, I sleep on a heating pad. Like a lizard on a heated rock. So I think for the temperature might be kind of subjective. I think some people like it cool, and some people like it toasty. I like it toasty. And then they say, consider using room darkening shades. I don't do that, but I don't feel light really bothers me. They suggest earplugs. I know there are people that sleep with earplugs because they're sensitive to sound. I don't feel like that is a usual problem for me. And they recommend a fan or other device for, I guess, you know, making noise. And they also say a mattress and pillow can contribute to better sleep. Well, I don't know if they mean to say like a quality mattress and pillow. Not that everyone in the world sleeps on a mattress and pillow. So maybe they're just saying, you know, to just being comfortable, whether that's, you know, something soft underneath you or it's a mattress. If what you're sleeping on feels uncomfortable, then I guess you should probably try to improve that. Oh, so yeah, then they say, oh, they do say the features of good bedding are subjective. Choose what feels most comfortable to you. And then they point out, if you share your bed, make sure there's enough room for two. I think that's very true. When you're sharing your bed and you're not, and it's before you fall asleep, then it's, you know, it's nice to be, you know, touching slightly or snuggling or whatever it is. But when it's time to fade out, it is sometimes best for some people to then have enough room to be able to spread out and kind of go into your sleep zone area of your bed. But that may not be true for everyone. Some people may fall asleep better when they're snuggling. So I think that can be subjective. If having lots of space to fall asleep is important, then yeah, I think the good advice here is to, whenever you buy a mattress, spend the extra money to get a bigger one, so there's lots of space. And then lastly, they remind you about children. Pets, that they, you know, there should be limits. So I'm not going to give out any parental advice. So that's your call. Just, you know, do what's best for, you know, you and your children. Pets, that can be tough, because just like with children, it's so nice when they snuggle with you. But, you know, the bottom line is try not to compromise your sleep. This is tip number 5 from the Mayo Clinic. And the summary is quite short, or the title is short. The sleep tip is limit daytime naps. And then they have several sentences about that. And I'm going to read those into each microphone. Long daytime naps can interfere with nighttime sleep, especially if you're struggling with insomnia or poor sleep quality at night. If you choose to nap during the day, limit yourself to about 10 to 30 minutes and make it during the mid-afternoon. If you work nights, you'll need to make an exception to the rules about daytime sleeping. In this case, keep your window coverings closed so that sunlight, which adjusts your internal clock, doesn't interrupt your daytime sleep. So, of course, I agree with the Mayo Clinic's, you know, basic point, which is if you're taking naps during the daytime, then it's going to make it harder to fall asleep at night. Now, on the flip side, naps can be so wonderful. Oh, it's just sometimes when a nap is like paradise. Like when you're just like sitting on the couch on a weekend, and you know, let's assume you've gotten all your chores done and you're just relaxing. Oh, to drift off on the couch in the middle of the day, or to sneak up and snuggle into your bed just for like a 1 to 2 hour midday nap can be so wonderful. Alright, I'm not supposed to be advocating naps, though. I'm supposed to be telling you not to do that. My mind is wandering too. Things that make me take naps when I don't plan to. And I think if the TV ever comes, if I'm like flipping channels and I come across golf, you know, golf commentators, as they slowly talk through about someone lining up a putt, or I don't know, however they comment, oh, that puts me right into Napville. And I don't even like golf. I mean, I don't dislike it, but I do not watch golf on TV for entertainment. But if I'm feeling a little bit relaxed or tired, and that's on TV, oh, it'll zonk me out. Same thing with baseball on TV. I don't watch it for entertainment, really. But falling asleep with a baseball game on TV in the background, it is very relaxing. Alright. Okay, I'm not supposed to be telling you all that. I'm supposed to be saying, limit your daytime naps. This is the number 6 sleep tip from the Mayo Clinic. And here is the tip in one sentence. Include physical activity in your daily routine. And then they have a few sentences. And I'll say these sentences into each microphone. regular physical activity can promote better sleep, helping you to fall asleep faster and to enjoy deeper sleep. Timing is important, though. If you exercise too close to bedtime, you might be too energized to fall asleep. If this seems to be an issue for you, exercise earlier in the day. So the vision I have, or the thought I have about this sleep tip is, like when kids run around a lot and they get so tired and they like take a nap or they go to bed early, is as we get older, I definitely have a lot less physical activity in my life. And I almost, you know, miss those days when, as a kid, you go out and you just play hard all day. And then you eat dinner and you'd be exhausted. And now, as we get older, it's more about, like, mental exhaustion. And so instead of passing out at bedtime, I know I tend to, like, you know, watch TV or something to take away that mental fatigue from the day. So that's, I mean, they're not really talking about mental fatigue, but they're just giving you good advice about getting physical activity and how that can help you get better sleep. I definitely don't have enough energy late at night to exercise, but I do tend to do it kind of at the end of the day. Not at the end of the day, but later in the day, like early evening. I don't think it impairs my sleep. I don't know. This is sleep tip number 7 from the Mayo Clinic. And the sleep tip is manage stress. And then they have several sentences about doing this. And I'll read those into each microphone. When you have too much to do and too much to think about, your sleep is likely to suffer. To help restore peace, consider healthy ways to manage stress. Start with the basics, such as getting organized, setting priorities, and delegating tasks. Give yourself permission to take a break when you need one. Share a good laugh with an old friend before bed. Jot down what's on your mind and then set it aside for tomorrow. So, as usual, I think these are all, you know, very good and helpful sleep tips from the Mayo Clinic. Let's see. So their first point is just saying you have too much to do and therefore too much to think about, that it's likely to interfere with your sleep. And that is very true for me, because when I go to sleep at night, if I don't have anything kind of distracting my mind, then I'll start feeling overwhelmed by, like, all the things that I didn't do, or the things I didn't do well enough, or the things I need to do for tomorrow, or the things that, you know, I have a deadline coming up, and my mind just wants to focus on all those things. And that makes it harder to fall asleep. And so they suggest to do things like get organized, set priorities, and delegate tasks. So I think those are very important, very helpful. It's, I think, basically what they're saying is to make sure that you're, you know, accomplishing your tasks and your most important ones. So that way you're not going to bed stressed. And then they say, like, you know, give yourself a break when you need one, and to laugh with a friend. I think they're saying that because it's like they don't want to tell you to, well, what you need to do is work a lot harder and stress yourself out more trying to do all these tasks. So what they're trying to say is make sure you stay balanced. You know, don't ignore the people that are important in your life. And don't exhaust yourself trying to finish every single thing on your to-do list. And then they end it with, before bed, jot down what's on your mind, and then set it aside for tomorrow. I think that can be a very good idea if it's something you're worried about, like forgetting to do. So, you know, say you're lying there and you suddenly remember or think of something you need to get done tomorrow. Rather than kind of stressing about that, what they say is to write it down so that way you don't need to worry that I'm going to forget to do that. What I normally do is I send myself an email. So that way, next time I open up my email, it's sitting right there. And sometimes that's how I do my reminders and my tasks. So it can either be on a notepad, which kind of sounds like how they said it, jot down, or send yourself an email, or whatever your method is. I think it's also helpful if you have a plan. So if something's stressing you out, is you may want to jot down what your plan is to tackle that. Like, that always makes me feel better. If I have a plan, you know, a schedule. So instead of this arbitrary, stressful task I need to do, it has a clear plan of what time of the day I'm going to work on it and shoot to have it done by. So that's another thing you can do that might help you to get it out of your mind before you fall asleep. Now, when I started the sleep tips, there were 7 sleep tips provided by the Mayo Clinic. And last week, we finished off number 7. But after number 7, they had this very important statement, which I really think should be sleep tip number 8, because it's so important. And their statement was summarized as, know when to contact your doctor. And then they had 2 sentences, and I'll read each one into each microphone. Nearly everyone has an occasional sleepless night. But if you often have trouble sleeping, contact your doctor. Identifying and treating any underlying causes can help you get the better sleep you deserve. So I feel that statement is so important that I'm calling it sleep tip number 8. And what they're kind of highlighting is kind of the difference between a sleep difficulty and a potential sleep disorder. And that if there's a possibility that you have a sleep disorder, then you should contact your doctor. Like the term insomnia is a sleep disorder. If you just occasionally have trouble falling asleep, that may not be a clinical diagnosis of insomnia. So those things that are considered sleep disorders are usually defined as any type of sleep problem that interferes with your work, your health, your relationships, your school, basically your life. So if in the morning you feel there's some part of your day that malfunctions because of something to do with your sleeping, then that could be a sleep